John.
I'm John.
I'm Mike.
And I'm actually able to speak this time.
Because Gordon's not having any testicle trauma.
Always good.
Yeah. This is all yesterday's parties, the podcast that you've been listening to these days.
Yes. That we have down by the bins.
Down the bins.
So, as you may be aware, we are constructing our own festival after the one we meant to go to this time last year got cancelled.
Yeah. Unceremoniously binned down by the bins.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're throwing together our own Festival Fest 2018.
Yep.
With all our own picked acts.
Yes.
It's been cancelled 3 times now, but maybe we'll be in luck on this session.
To get this last one.
And we're unofficially sponsored by Titanic Brewery. Since we're recording in the Greyhound. Lovely pints of plum porter.
Raised,
good times. And Gordon's got water because he's driving.
Yep.
Good times.
Get another round.
I think we've got sufficient beer to get through this one.
Yes.
There's never enough to get me through this.
I certainly have. I've got half a pint left.
Anyway, yes. This time around, I believe we're going to be led out by Dr. Mr. Reverend Lord Matt Tyra, the 52nd.
Yes.
Team.
I've been here since last week, and I've been fighting off the zombie hordes, and in the style of Evil Dead 2.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I have lost one of my arms in fighting the zombies. Unfortunately, I'm in a pub, so I've only been able to replace it with a plastic spork.
Did you time travel?
It's very disappointing.
Yeah, but check
it out. If you time travel, that would be Evil Dead 3.
But check it out.
Army of
Darkness. Check out what it can do.
What can your replacement spork arm do?
Well, I can... Listen to the noise it makes. It's beautiful.
You can keep time. It's quite
I can be a metronome and... And I'm excellently equipped if somebody provides me with a pasta salad.
Mm. So,
or some quinoa.
No.
falafel?
Falafel.
Couscous?
Falafel.
Couscous.
Anyway, John, drop it. Oh, also Gordon's here. Say hello, Gordon.
What's the average age of your listeners, do you think?
Thanks, Gordon. John, hit the sting. Right, Matt.
Hello.
Would you like to tell us about your...
Yes, so I've selected, now that we're kind of past the
greeting stage.
Salad.
On my list, past the Tom Waits headline of my stage.
Yeah.
I wanted something really, really fun and exciting to kind of close out my stage with.
Cool.
And I've selected...
It was the opposite of what I picked, but more on that later.
Spoilers. I picked The Apples in Stereo.
You did?
Yes, you did.
Which are part of the Elephant Six collective that includes Neutral Milk Hotel and the Olivia Tremor Control that you may have heard of.
I've definitely heard of half of
that. In your hipster coffee bar.
Yes. In my aeroplane over the sea.
In your aeroplane over the sea. Absolutely love Neutral Milk Hotel and Jeff Mangum.
Yeah.
Apples in Stereo, I actually saw at the ATP that was being hosted by Jeff Mangum, and they were just great fun, really kind of retro style. And having spoken about math rock in a previous episode, I think there are a few bands that epitomise genuine math rock, because Robert Schneider, who is...
Rob Schneider?
Not that Rob Schneider. Dr. Robert Schneider.
Okay.
Who, PhD... I'm pretty certain he's finished his PhD now. Right. He's a PhD mathematician.
Oof.
And has
so literally
got his
math
PhD
rock.
in mathematics around music.
Okay.
So actually, some of the tracks and the scales and chord structures that he's decided to use are maths-based. So it is much more maths-orientated than
actual math rock.
Arguably, yes. Yeah. Which is quite alarming. But no, all congratulations. Hard work should always be rewarded.
Absolutely.
Congratulations to Dr. Robert Schneider on the achievement.
You as well, Gordon. Come on.
We're extremely impressed. And that's not sarcasm.
No, that was proper actual applause.
Yeah. As a fake doctor, I thoroughly support anyone who's gone to the lengths of getting an actual doctorate degree instead of this bullshit honorific nonsense that I've got.
Online.
No, I didn't get it online.
Congratulations, Gillian McKeith.
Anyway, Matt.
Gillian McKeith, you're not a doctor.
Not a doctor.
Sue me. What were we talking about? Where
Apples
are we?
In stereo.
Apples in Stereo.
Oh yeah, they're great. So the album that I recommended listening to was their most recent album, which is Travellers in Time and Space, which I love, especially the track Hey Elevator, which just makes me so happy, particularly as the video was filmed in an elevator. Also, Elijah Wood in a remarkable quantity of their videos, either in front or behind the camera.
Okay, yeah, that's a thing.
That's a good bit of trivia.
Yeah.
Particularly dance floor. Also, it's just nice. Car, summer, windows open, driving, Apples in Stereo. Happy days.
Yeah, it was a great, fun album. There's a lot of variety of styles, even though it's all quite retro. There's a lot going on. Some of it wasn't quite to my tastes, but the stuff that worked for me more made up for the stuff that didn't. I imagine it would be a very lively gig, which probably makes me sound more old than white.
So lively. These kids with their lively music.
I know.
It's part of the reason I chose to put them on in the Sun Ra Orchestra set rather than when I saw them, which was at about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So kind of just stood still. It was
That's not when you want that band.
No. And they were so good.
Mm. Yeah. Actually,
Mike, you look a lot like...
I've seen pictures, yeah.
I really enjoyed the album. I think there were some styles that didn't appeal to me as much as others, so some of the songs that were a little bit dirtier hit home a lot harder than the stuff that was a bit kind of cleaner, disco-y kind of sounds. So
those might be the more maths-orientated ones. I can have a stab at which one that probably was.
Sorry, Gordon's just looking at pictures of Apples in Stereo, and yes, one of them does look.
Dr. Robert Schneider.
That one in the red hat.
Does bear a decent resemblance to me.
Yeah, really enjoyed listening to it. Yeah, thumbs up.
I've got erect thumbs on this one. I was on my notes at the time, I was saying it was kind of reminiscent of somewhere between Jellyfish, the glam rockers of note, and of Montreal, insofar as it's got that kind of wayward indie vibe, but with strong, just glam joy to it. So, yeah, I can see 2 o'clock just the worst slot for them. You definitely need them later on in the day when people have got a few bevvies in them and are ready to get a fucking dance on. They're a lot of fun, just great amounts of fun. There were moments when the vocals didn't really agree with me all that much,
which is probably they would probably ally with when I've had a similar.
But there was a lot more that I liked than didn't.
Yeah.
So I came away from that listening experience very happy, and if I saw them on the bill, I'd be like, yeah, absolutely, I'll give them a go, most definitely. So, Gordon.
It was quite late when I listened to this. And
was it, I guess, was it around about midnight last night?
It was. And my cat
Wait,
was...
what happened at midnight last night?
My cat was bothering me and I hadn't eaten.
That's an album title.
It sounds like a choo-choo album title.
So my name
just needs a blues riff under it.
Welcome this morning.
My cat was bothering me. Haven't eaten.
Got this off of the stereo.
I haven't got Spotify.
My battery's died. Barry's cancelled the gig.
Actually, you've just summed up yesterday. No, that's Betty Boot.
I am, in fact, doing the do as we speak.
Anyway.
So, I've only made 4 bullet points, one which has already been covered.
Which was?
I saw that the lead vocalist was called Rob Schneider.
And looked like
And then I was disappointed.
Rob Schneider.
And I kept thinking about...
Hang on, you were disappointed...
To find out it wasn't that Rob Schneider.
Yes.
That's the wrong way round. Isn't that Rob Schneider like an anti-vaxxer and like a dick?
I don't know anything about that, but he's the star of Deuce Bigelow, Male Gigolo, and that's enough.
And Male Bigelow 2.
Yes. European Gigolo, yes.
And anyway,
he was in that.
No, stop.
I'm aware
carry
of his Gigolo
your,
work.
Carry on with your bullet points.
I found the. So I only realised this recently. You know YouTube?
Yes.
To say YouTube.
I am aware of
I'm familiar
YouTube.
With YouTube.
We'll bleep it out in the edit.
You said Google
earlier, for God's sake. We're all right with YouTube.
We'll have to do a something search for that.
Yeah, well, something, that later.
Internet. Anyway, so you can play back.
You use Bing, don't you?
I like Bing. Yeah. I like DuckDuckGo. I like. There's a new one, Swiss Cows, that's quite good. I generally don't like Google.
Sorry, I opened that door up myself then.
Can you read your bullet points,
old please. Sister?
According to
Ask Jeeves.
I used to ask Jeeves. Anyway, so on YouTube you can play back on different speeds, which is quite fun sometimes for instant remixing. But for the first few tracks, I thought I was listening to it on plus 1.25, but I wasn't.
Yeah.
The voice has a certain pitch.
And it made me a little bit.
But
saying that, I like the track CPU.
Yes,
that was good. Very good.
That's one of the Matthew ones, and I've got a feeling that might be one of the ones that John didn't like.
Possibly. My track listing has got kind of lost.
I thought it was...
The vocals almost sound a bit flat on it.
I enjoyed it.
No, it's a good track.
And it's one of the Matthew No ones, Vacation, so. I thought was very, very good. And I liked, obviously, I like concept albums, generally. But is it Travellers in Space and Time or Time and Space?
It's read the front of the album.
A negligible point.
I think it's Space and Time. Actually.
I think it's Space and Time.
What did I say? Time and Space.
Yeah.
Oh, I was wrong. I frequently get.
I don't mean to pick out everyone's errors today, but I am. Yeah. Sorry.
It's okay.
Yes. Nice.
It doesn't matter. If you Google Apples in Stereo, Travellers in, and then when you're doing your something search, and then press Enter. And it'll probably come up as the first thing.
Chances are it will be.
It's kind of yellow and pink.
Yeah, what is? Yep.
It's very yellow. Color. It's a very
Battenberg. Battenberg is quite yellow and pink. I love Battenberg.
Travellers in Battenberg. And Time.
So
those two flavors don't mix.
Two.
Timon. Marzipan. No.
Very poor.
Adventure Time.
I just tried to Google it. Then just came up with apples in Spanish.
Right.
And then so we're apples
so,
in Spanish.
Oh, so we've already spent too long on me.
It's not really my thing, I've said, ultimately.
Fair enough.
Fair enough.
But,
did it not get you pumped?
No, I must be dead.
Yeah.
Shall I sting?
Yes.
Yes.
Whatever you need to be.
Yep.
It is Space and Time, incidentally. Gordon was once again annoyingly right.
How are we?
Yeah. Anyway, John, go on.
So, my act that I chose, my fourth act was Torres. And.
Torres.
The first song that I heard by Torres. So, we come to Torres.
Now that we've been kicked out of the pub.
Yes.
Now that we've been kicked out of the pub.
Not kicked out of the pub so much as overrun the 4-hour booking that we made.
Yes. So we're now in my living room. So talking
call
about
it living.
Yeah, not so much. Talking about Torres, I first encountered Torres through a song which was the album title track from their album Sprinter. Which is a very grungy sounding song, and then I discovered they had a new album out, so I thought for funsies I would pick that because I hadn't even heard it yet, which is a song, an album called Three Futures. And
three what, John?
Futures.
Three Futures. Okay.
Three Futures.
Not Three Colours.
Not Three Colours.
Not Three Colours, no.
That's not something.
And not No Futures.
That's not something I would say.
That's not something you'd have said if the microphone hadn't been on.
Exactly.
And
right.
We'd accidentally not recorded.
Damn right.
The entire episode's worth of content.
Damn right. Yeah. I really enjoyed Three Futures. It was very different to Sprinter. Sprinter had a very grungy kind of feel to it, and Three Futures sounded like it had gone in the direction of St. Vincent a little bit, and it had more sparse arrangements, but more intricate arrangements. The difference being, I feel that Three Futures is a lot more in earnest and a lot more direct than St. Vincent tends to be, because St. Vincent tends to be a bit more abstract. The songs on this felt less so. But nevertheless, I would love to see this band. The band hasn't changed from Sprinter through to Three Futures. So between Torres touring Sprinter and touring Three Futures, there seems to have been a kind of an evolution in singing and playing style. So I'm quite curious to see how that would work. But yeah, really enjoy. I've really enjoyed listening to that band so far. So that's my fourth pick.
Right, fourth pick, second take.
Yeah.
But yeah, I listened to Torres.
Yes,
because that was the point of this whole thing. Yeah.
Wait, what?
I thought, yeah, that was very good. Yeah. I got a very sparse synth wavy kind of vibe from it.
Yeah.
With a little bit of kind of almost a post punky edginess.
Yeah.
To it. And yeah, I thought it was very good on the whole. But I did find that after a certain amount of time, it did start to feel just a little bit samey.
Yeah.
There's just something about it. Just, I felt like I was treading over some very similar ground.
Yeah.
But the music was very good.
Yeah.
I enjoyed her voice very well, very much.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd imagine that a live performance of it would probably be very engaging. So
yeah.
I feel very positive towards it.
Cool. Pretty good. Pretty good.
What does Gordon think?
Oh, I've forgotten.
But you were so articulate and sensible last time.
Should I say it again? If I was to.
As
you said it before.
Time. Right.
I
listened to the wrong thing. Because
yes,
I did.
You listened to Gemma Hayes.
Gemma Hayes. And I liked it. That Gemma Hayes, I mean.
Yeah. That they have these days.
Those women.
Well, is she country? Is she sort of folky country?
Gemma Hayes tends to be quite. She veers between quite indie rock and country-ish acoustic-y sort of stuff.
Laura veers.
No.
Okay.
No.
So I like
Gemma Hayes.
It was veers related. I'll be quiet and
and
sit over here.
It was late.
Not interrupt.
It was still last night.
Ever again.
Yes.
I can't. Try. So then, after I'd completed my tasks.
Yes.
And I was going through everything to make sure I'd done them correctly.
Yes, after you'd made us listen, attempted to make us listen to a 3-hour mix.
There's more than one.
What didn't that happen today? Oh no, that was last night.
Mm. So then I realised I haven't listened to Torres.
Torres.
Who is a them rather
yes.
than a she. I
yes.
know this now.
Yeah.
and I listened to the 30 seconds of each track because I don't have Spotify. And interestingly, nothing. Nothing.
Interestingly, nothing. Matt?
I want to hear more about this.
you know when you try and listen to something and you can't?
Yes.
Well, that's what happened to me. So, I did. I listened
Did you switch your computer off?
Phone.
Oh.
Yeah.
Did you I tell a lie.
Did your battery run out?
It was on the laptop. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you switch that off?
No, but...
Because that will stop you listening to
my laptop has started freezing recently. The screen started freezing.
This machine kills Gordon's laptop.
We're back to that again.
Full circle.
So, I don't recall exactly what they sound like, but I seem to recall some kind of synthy stuff.
Yeah.
And drums and stuff happening. But I did write down here that I like I liked Greener Stretch and Helen in the Woods, which I can't remember what it sounds like at the moment, but at the time I liked it because I actually wrote down
that you
like it. Well, actually, I put like.
And then my third bullet point is blank, but it is a bullet point.
It is?
Yes. That's true, we can attest to that.
That doesn't make it any less valid, does it?
Howling in the Woods is very good, though. That was definitely a standout track.
Yeah.
Matt.
Hello.
Oh.
This is where he faces the noise, and we don't tell him to shut up.
I'm so excited for this. I enjoyed Torres. I enjoyed Helen in the Woods. Interestingly, I thought the way that she sang reminded me quite a lot of Shara Warden from My Brightest Diamond.
Yeah.
And I have to agree with Mike. I think that I'm forced, compelled by his robot brain.
Contractually, you're obliged. Yeah.
I found that by the time I was getting towards the end of the album, I was beginning to get a bit fatigued.
Yeah.
But I'd be lying if I said I was sure why. Because there is so much variety between the songs, but there is something that's so threaded through all of them.
Yeah.
That actually, by the time you get towards the end of the record, I think I had to stop listening at, was it Bad Baby Pie?
Yes.
Partly because I'd run out of enthusiasm. Yeah. That's not to say that I wasn't enjoying it, but when in trying to listen to all of these acts in one night, that was as much as I could tolerate.
Yeah.
But also because, in some respects, I didn't find the lyrics to be sufficiently on a wavelength that I could relate to. I didn't understand what she was trying to get at points, and I found it somewhat alienating.
Yeah. Fair. Always fair. Fair.
Am
fair.
I? I'm frequently unfair.
It's true. Yeah. But at least you're reasonable about being unfair.
Yeah.
I'm aggressively reasonable.
Yeah. Brutally.
Oh, yeah. I just remembered the comment.
Oh, yeah.
It's too late.
Eva Torres from wrestling.
Yes. Yeah. Go on.
I'm really glad you remembered that.
Go and just remember something we said in the Parallel Dimension one time.
Now that we're on top of Mike.
Fucking hell. Get off! I've just had it waxed. Anyway, I picked for my last one the closing band of my day of music, as I initially envisioned it.
Yeah,
I wanted something absolutely enormous and mind buggering, and so the only thing that I could really think of that would fit my very specific bill was Son and Boris performing their collaborative album Alter.
Mm.
Which, I've been listening to drone music on and off for a little bit now, and
now you've been listening to me.
Yeah, it's John's here again.
We need to take his accordion away.
Yes, it remains firstly one of the most inventive drone albums, and also one of the most accessible in its own way.
Yeah,
I believe the first track, Etna, is very much a proper, good, solid drone track. It takes a long while to get somewhere, and when it gets there, it blows your fucking brain wide open. Just enormous piles of guitars and drums and feedback.
Yeah.
And... Wah! Love it! But it does other exciting things with it. I mean, a track like Fried Eagle Mind, it's... weird atmospheric peculiar noises and Watta, my goddess of the guitar.
Yeah,
I love Watta so much. She's absolutely amazing.
Features in your
my builder band,
your super group
episode a while ago. Yeah. Yes,
Watta.
She's if that's her name. W A T A. Watta.
It's the workshop that did all of the fight scenes for. Sorry, my bad. Lord of the Rings.
Yes.
They built her.
Yes. They might as well have. She's as bombastic as a fight scene in Lord of the Rings.
Well, she was on Jane McDonald last night, by the way.
Was she?
Yeah.
Well, there's some gossip.
Well, there is context, but...
I don't care. I'm going to leave it there. But yes, as you, the listener, will have gathered, Son and Boris collaborated on this album. So you've got the two members of Son, the three members of Boris...
Mm-hmm.
Various regular collaborators, and then some slightly bigger names like Kim Thayil from Soundgarden, and Dylan Carson, the guy who is basically the godfather of drone.
Right.
After he made the album Earth 2, also bought Kurt Cobain his shotgun. Which is probably the fact he probably doesn't want people to remember so well, vividly.
He's telling me to skim over that.
Yeah.
It's a lot of gift to give someone, isn't it?
I don't know. Parts of America, it's fairly
America.
Standard. Yeah, America.
They love their guns.
They do like a gun or two.
Biblically.
My right to bear arms. Mm.
There's also a member of Melvin's bear as well.
No, not bear Stop arms, talk. Like a t-shirt.
Stop fucking you absolute shower of shit. Bastard.
Which one Fox. Of us are you talking to?
All of you! All of everyone.
Yeah, John.
I hate you all. But yeah, so you get the huge drone tracks, you get the weirder, almost jazzy tracks in some places. Mm. And then there's a track like The Sinking Bell, Blue Sheep, which just is smack in the middle of the album. And it's so soothing and gentle and beautiful. And Jesse Sykes' vocal in that, absolutely good. The first time I listened to that album, I was not expecting that or anything like it.
Yeah.
And it just, I fell completely in love with that track and the album as a whole. And I just know this entire album, the album itself fits in just under an hour.
Yeah.
There's a bonus track, Her Lips Were Wet With Venom, which is heavily featuring Dylan Carlson. That's about 20 minutes as well.
Yeah.
And there's also three different versions of The Sinking Bell, Blue Sheep, White Sheep and Black Sheep. So including everything, every last little piece, you're looking at about an hour and a half of music, which is just perfect.
I wondered if glorious. It was supposed to be Black Sheep, because on the Bandcamp page, it's Back Sheep.
It should be Black Sheep.
Okay, fine. Yeah. I wondered if that was...
It's a typo.
That's a typo.
There's Blue, Black and White. Black, I think, was originally on one version of the album. White was later on a very, very limited release. And Her Lips Are Wet With Venom is also on certain releases and not others.
It was on the Bandcamp
one. Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
The Bandcamp one basically features everything apart from White Sheep. I'm not sure why they left White Sheep, but possibly for the people who bought that ridiculously rare version. But to be honest, White Sheep is actually the weakest version of the three sheep.
Lol.
Lol on you, dickheads. Blue Sheep. It's perfect. It doesn't need any variation. And Black Sheep is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And White is just, I see you there over there. White Sheep.
Sheeping.
Offering nothing.
Gambling around.
Just basically being a bit standard.
Off on the lamb.
Yeah.
Oh. Anyway.
You could say that the people who bought the special edition were fleeced.
Hey!
But shouldn't.
No. Anyway.
Gordon,
what did you think of... and Son.
Sunny. I keep
and Cher.
Sunny D. I've got two memorable moments in Drone.
Yeah.
The first, when I was at middle school, junior school, that sort of age bracket, and our teacher asked us to record the sounds of water.
Mm-hmm.
So I recorded, at the time we had the jacuzzi, and so I recorded 5 minutes of the jacuzzi with the tap running, and then ended up with flushing the toilet. And actually, in retrospect, I created Drone.
You heard it here first, folks.
This is a bold statement.
My second experience... I was in a yoga.
I was shopping
shop.
For Kurt Cobain. I thought, oh, that looks nice.
No. I was in a yoga shop. Well, it wasn't a yoga shop.
Yoga shop.
It was a music shop.
That also sold yoga.
Well, no, there was a big yoga thing going on, and this girl was there who was really into a particular type of yoga. I forget. She was going on about it anyway, and she was looking for a drone machine. And they had a wide selection of drone machines. I didn't know that was a thing.
Oh, you mean like the white noise machines?
Like the box. Like the box.
The white noise machine kind of things.
Well, yeah, but they were tuned to different keys. So it would just be, you know, so when you're practicing your yoga, you have it in the background to help
20
you.
Minutes of okay. nothing in F sharp.
But you wind it up and you can play it and it's just...
Okay, yeah.
You know, that hum, but in different keys. But it was $300 and...
We could just buy Earth 2 by Earth.
Yeah.
Or put the jacuzzi
on.
You're probably buying Earth 2 by Earth is probably cheaper on the whole.
Not unless you've got a jacuzzi, which I don't anymore. And it wasn't mine anyway.
But But even so, you'd have to run all that water.
Could you just boil a kettle?
No.
Oh.
Depends on what key it's in.
Are you putting the kettle on?
No.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
No.
So, coming back to Sonny O and Boris. So
you're the bees.
Again, unfortunately, my notes here are rather limited. I like it. Fried Eagle Mine, very good. Mm. I added the very good, I didn't write that, but it was very good. And NLT standout, Akuma no Kuma. To be honest, really enjoyed it. It's the kind of thing I would listen to. I would very happily spend an afternoon watching or listening to this, to these guys, or girls, or whoever.
Well, you can't really tell when they're on stage because they're all wearing big, thick black cloaks and they're drenched in so much smoke and dry ice.
Are they interchangeable?
You can barely see God, nothing. Are they interchangeable? Not really.
No.
I think, you could tell.
Mm. Do they have a drone machine?
No, they are the drone machine.
I see.
Matt!
Hello!
Tell us about something.
It's me? Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, it's definitely me. No, I enjoyed Sun O, parenthesis, and Boris.
B-O-R, parenthesis, I-S. No.
Not according to my notes.
Carry on talking.
My notes consist of the word alter.
They are shit notes, though. I mean, it looks like you spelt it wrong the first time as well. There's definitely an E there with an A drawn over it.
You're not wrong. I kind of wanted it to be called that. I thought, I know that doesn't fit in with the doom metal thing, but it does fit in with actually what it sounded like.
Yes, kind of.
And I enjoyed listening to it. I particularly enjoyed Blue Sheep. I enjoyed Etna. I enjoyed Fried Eagle Mind. Mm. And I enjoyed that bonus track on the end, that the name of which I've forgotten, that went on for 20 minutes.
Her Lips Were Wet With Venom.
That I was cooking to.
Oh, yeah, good choice.
Which, given the ingredients in the food I was making, it fitted.
Oh.
Well, that was sinister. John.
Same. I kind
of... you cook with venom as well.
always. I cook with nothing else. I had a similar feeling in the sense... the same thing I had kind of had with Chibitek and Goblin is that... the music needed to be accompanied by an audiovisual element.
Mm.
It kind of, listening to it, felt like I've been dropped into some immersive theatre, which I think I've talked about at length before when I've discussed Punch Drunk's The Drowned Man.
True.
It had a similar feeling of dropping into a building where things are happening and the music kind of denotes the intensity to which things are happening.
Mm.
Yeah, very similar vibe. I enjoyed listening to it. I kind of felt like I was imagining things that were happening that were completely disconnected to the music, but and the Sinking Bell adds just a completely different tone to it. So it just kind of lands in the middle of it.
It comes completely out of nowhere, doesn't it? And Jesse Sykes' voice is just...
It's kind of like swimming in a sea of shit when suddenly a pile of Christmas-themed LEDs just kind of land into the middle of it.
Well, that was graphic.
That was charming.
Yes. It was a completely different mood to the whole of the rest of everything that had come before or after.
And yet it doesn't quite feel completely out of place.
Yeah.
Because it's got the same slow, ponderous feel to it as the rest of the album.
Yeah.
But it's just so much lighter and more gentle.
Yeah. So I kind of enjoyed what an unusual listening experience it was, especially broken up by the Sinking Bell. Mm. But it just had such a strong feeling of landing in the middle of some kind of immersive experience.
Mm.
And that the music on most of the album was soundtracking it to an extent. So that was an interesting feeling.
Cool.
Yeah.
I was really expecting more people to hate it. Because this was totally my self-indulgent choice.
Yeah. I was playing Star Wars Battlefront 2 at the time.
Probably badly, I'd imagine.
always badly.
But I can't imagine playing anything well to that album.
No. So it was a very curious soundtrack to that.
No kidding.
Yeah. Oh God, that's all of us, isn't it?
Oh God.
Oh God.
So that means we're on to Gordon's choice.
Yeah. Oh God.
All of us going, oh God, before that. That seems appropriate. Really Hi Gordon.
Hi. So I actually selected two artists here, but actually it represents a theme.
It represents a 3-hour long playlist.
We were supposed to listen to it 10 o'clock last night.
I will say, listeners, that we were treated to a message at 10 o'clock last night that said, actually my picks didn't represent the music quite as well. So if you listen to this 3-hour long playlist the night before we record.
And yeah, this was at 10 PM as well.
But I
you
do
know
feel
what?
Represents...
Probably not, no.
I was busy.
Well, there's always doing opportunity to listen again. we can put the link, perhaps.
Yeah,
why not?
Yeah.
Why not? Yeah. Come on. Yeah, this is you.
So, actually, this... The sound I went for was the autonomic sound, which was from the late 2000s, early 2010. I don't know how you describe these things. But around 2009 through 2012 in particular, drum and bass music was veering off in various different directions, and a more introspective, subtle, minimal sound was being explored.
Mm-hmm.
And there's three key names. Dee Bridge, who's the record label of Exit Records. He's been around in the drum and bass scene for a long time, part of Bad Company, if that means anything to anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly in the early 2000s, they had one of the most popular drum and bass songs of all time.
I'm thinking of the wrong Bad Company.
Not that Bad Company. Bad, Bad Company UK, as opposed to and the Holding Company.
What song did they do? Bad Company.
Well, it wasn't them anyway.
Yeah.
So, The Nine is the track I'm referring to. You'd probably know it if you heard it. It was everywhere.
Yeah.
But it wasn't rubbish.
Important distinction.
Yes. And Exit Records, particularly from 2010, released a range of, again, I hate to use the term forward-thinking, but it was
very...
You
already did.
Yes, I have used it. And it had a large influence from house and techno and ambient sounds, exploring different realms of what a 174 BPM type track could be without being in your face.
Mm-hmm.
ASC has been around for a long time, let's put it that way. And he also dabbles in techno, electronica, ambient, drone.
Mm-hmm.
Film composing, runs the auxiliary label, and again during that time worked a lot with Dee Bridge, another outfit called Instrumental, for pushing forward the Nonplus label, which again I would really recommend but didn't include in my listening choices.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really have a lot to say here, other than, you know, it's deeper, more emotional styles of bass music, and I think it's good.
Okay. Matt, did you think it was good?
I actually quite enjoyed it, to be honest with you. I thought that if we were kind of structuring this as a festival, I would put this on after all the other stages had closed in whatever was the kind of stage two type room, where you had something darker. So you might have a DJ set going on somewhere with more dancey stuff, and you might have a darker electronic room going with this, and that's exactly what I'd put on in it.
So about the time we'd normally go to bed.
Well, you may go to bed. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Judging by the ATP that I went to, when you and John would go to bed,
my foot hurt,
and Alice and I would go off and basically
make friends with salad.
Yes, or not.
John.
Similar. I kind of felt like there was the act, the one of the last acts that I remember seeing at that ATP was the guy who was playing music that was accompanying the footage of the last Antarctic expedition.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, the dead huskies.
That's the,
yeah. Yeah. The list of all the names of dead huskies. Isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't remember who that was.
Wow.
I can't remember who that was either.
No.
Well, the content made more of an impression than the act. That's disappointing for them.
Because I kind of wandered in and there was probably about 15 people watching them. And I
that's because Sun Ra Orchestra
were playing and that was it. There wasn't much competition.
And Sing Along a Wicker Man was still going.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. It's similar to the Eurodance section
there was a lot less PVC, yes, let's be honest.
Far fewer PVC wearers in the his house
and less wrapping.
Mm. Mm.
Really not a good comparison at all.
Yeah, you've kind of fundamentally broken it down into its composite parts.
Yep.
and stamped on them
like a good scientist.
Can I add in another fun fact?
No.
I'm curious.
Is also a vocalist and sings on quite a few of the releases. He's quite
Did he sing on the
Spectral Soul Glimpse? He did. That's him.
Because there were a lot of people whining about the vocals on the YouTube comments.
He's got an unusual voice.
And I disagreed fundamentally with all the people whining.
I agree.
I thought they were whining.
Mm. That's what people on YouTube do.
Yeah.
I never read the comments.
They're like a wine, don't
they? I
love to read the comments. I enjoy reading them and then thinking about all those people dying in a fire.
Do you use the fire emoji?
I don't comment that I want them to die in a fire because I'm not those people. I just idly think, oh.
Do you think it in the fire emoji?
No.
No. That's fine.
I think of an actual fire and their screaming faces.
Interestingly. When Mike's giant robot brain thinks of fires, fires break out.
Oh, shit.
Oh, dear God.
Yeah.
The Greyhound.
I forgot about that. Oh, no.
Oh, no. No, it was fine. It's not the kind of thing that I would go to see live, but there was nothing wrong with it, I think, is about the deepest I can get into that.
Well,
Mike.
I can plough a little deeper.
Okay.
But yeah, I definitely broadly agree with what Matt said. It's got a very late night feel to it. I also feel it's not got a very big stage feel to it. It would need a small. I'm thinking like a boiler room session
definitely,
kind of thing.
Definitely.
It needs that because you've got.
It's not stadium stuff.
No, not in the least. I mean, you've got some nice multi-layered analog beat style things with ASC. And D-Bridge bringing that kind of a dubby element to it. These are things I do like quite a lot. So yes, if you've got these guys there in a kind of a small
sweatbox,
yeah, basically a little dark room,
yeah,
and then just mixing a whole lot of analog, dubby, lo-fi beats.
Best way to listen to sound system stuff.
Yeah,
as opposed to a little dark room where you've got somebody just really trying hard to develop photographs.
Everyone's just there holding cheap lager and nodding at him. Love it, mate. Love it. Yeah. Bow selector.
Do you know what? I've just had the thought as well, which I could have linked to my suggested listening and what I would suggest.
Mm.
And actually, the most obvious...
Is it a three-hour playlist?
It's better. It's actually... A
what
ten,
could be better?
There's 10 podcasts, all specifically based on the autonomic sound. The autonomic podcasts, and please do link to them, because although they're old, they're still up online somewhere, and they're very, very good.
Are you sure they're up online? Didn't podcasts finish in 2008?
Possibly, but these ones are different types of podcasts because they're not... they are people talking and playing music. So,
cool.
Yeah, so,
Otherwise, what's the point?
Well, we're not playing music, are we?
We're talking about music.
Yeah. What happens at this point? I've got lost.
What happens at this point?
We vote.
You hit the sting and we have a vote.
Okay.
John's completely...
He was ruined before anyone got to him.
We've officially broken John at this point. He's in absolute fucking bits.
Ruins.
Right.
So
who actually...
Just to recap.
Yeah, Matt started on this one, so we'll let's actually have a useful recap of who everyone did.
I went for apples in stereo.
Yes, you did.
John went for Torres.
Yes.
Mike went for Sun, zero parenthesis, 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 and Boris.
Yes.
Irritatingly. And Gordon went for ASC and D-Bridge.
Yes, that is all correct. So, Matt, which of the ones that you didn't pick would you actually go and see?
I think I would go and see ASC and D-Bridge. Just to really annoy all of you, apart from Gordon.
Mainly John.
Who's giving me a lift home.
So, John.
It's a really difficult choice.
It is a really difficult choice.
I would have to say probably, out of everything, I enjoyed the apples in stereo most.
I am irritatingly in agreement with Matt. And I actually think that, assuming it is in the kind of setting that we're talking about,
Festival.
Little room, late night.
Stage three.
Nice and dark and squawky.
Cancelled.
Secret stage.
So
balcony marimba party.
Chalet set. Microwave door on head.
Stamping the table into the ground.
Yeah, I'm there for it. So, yeah. Gordon, what's...
I'm going to vote for Sunno. Or whatever they're called.
Parenthesis.
It's just Sun
and Boris.
Thank you.
Sun and Boris.
Sun and Boris.
Excellent. Some people like to call them the Space Cowboy.
I don't get that.
Well, in the song, some people like to call him Maurice.
Maurice.
And you called them Boris.
Boris.
Oh, that's one.
Yes.
Interesting fact.
Oh, Christ.
I think it was 1989.
Hang on, can I stop you there? Anyone else?
Good choice. Good work, sir. Good work. So I think we've...
1989. Sorry, my curiosity is too big to follow through.
Well, it might not have been 1989.
Oh, God.
Jesus Christ.
I have nevertheless followed through.
What
year did that rechart in the late 80s?
What?
That song, The Joker.
Oh, that's what it's called.
Steve Miliband.
Steve Miliband.
Ed Miliband.
As opposed to Ed Miliband and David Miliband.
No. Of international
whiskey. Because we had to listen to kids' news at school, and for some reason they played that song and we had to talk about it.
It did have a resurgence in the 90s.
Yeah, it was on the chart show.
I remember it coming back, yeah.
Well, that was a conversation I didn't expect to have. But.
A song which references being a midnight toker isn't exactly ideal for kids' news, but there we are.
The important thing is we've decided on a whole bunch of acts. Mm. We've all liked each other's music, but we've all liked each other's music, the three of us here, more than we've liked Matt's. That was also very good. And also, no one voted for yours.
John did.
No, I mean overall. You've not been an overall winner of a single episode. How does that feel?
Was I not the winner of the first one?
What was the first one?
No, I won the first one with...
With
Covet.
You guys suck. Is how this goes.
You nearly won the third one, but I blocked you out.
I think you did that deliberately just so that you could do this bit.
Might have done, yeah. Lols.
I'm going to think about fires.
Yeah, but the important thing is, we've not been cancelled.
Yeah,
we've not had a call or a text from Barry.
We haven't,
BT
have we?
BT Tower,
around the corner from you.
Near my house.
And then
all the acts that we've had,
every single one of them, and then that's it.
Great.
Yeah,
is that your phone?
Oh,
fuck's sake! Hit the sting, John.
I've hit the sting.
You've hit the sting?
Yeah. Was that your phone ringing?
Yeah.
What happened?
I don't want to talk about it, mate.
Oh.
I think we're going to have to give the BT Tower back.
Oh, God.
Have you got the flatbed?
After you spent all the time taking it to Telford.
All the way to Telford. We've got to take it back again.
That's rubbish.
I'll put it in my extendable tripod.
yeah,
and left it over.
Okay,
using my robot brain.
Using your robot brain. Fine, fine. Well, in that case, I'm going to hit the outro.
Hey!
You have been listening to all yesterday's party.
All of them at once.
Yes, it must feel like it at this point. The music is by Attack of the Vapors, and the podcast is hosted by Audio Boom.
Also available on iTunes and Spotify, and yeah. Notes on Tumblr and Matt Sucks.